Happy Saturday morning, Nashville, and may the 4th be with you. Four's company here on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt making it happen back behind the glass. Tough one for the Preds last night, but we're going to recap everything here. We get the first look at this one, guys, after the Friday night game. Preds fall 1-0 to the Vancouver Canucks. Their season ends with a 4-2 series loss to the Canucks. We're going to get into that throughout the first hour. We'll talk a little bit more about what comes next for the Preds in the second hour. We'll also talk some Titans, talk some baseball. But guys, how are we doing on this Saturday morning? Happy weekend to all of you.
Happy weekend, gentlemen. Unfortunate for the Preds last night. Just thought something was going to fall for him on a power play, but didn't. I'm upset about that. Also upset about with the rugby that I'm a big fan of, the NRL. My favorite team, the Brisbane Broncos.
The Ballyhoos.
The Ballyhoos, as some may call it. The Brisbane Broncos played the Sydney Roosters, and it was a rematch from the Week 1 Las Vegas game that I went to. And, just unfortunate events. Adam Reynolds tore his bicep in the middle of the game. Ezra Mann had to go to HIA, which is a head injury assessment. Basically, is like, you know, a concussion protocol. Had that happen. Reese Walsh, who was the main superstar on the team, was tossing balls left and right that were not being put in play. So that's an issue. They end up losing to the Sydney Roosters like 40-18, which is a terrible score. Besides that, we're peachy today. We woke up with a happy feeling, got some coffee, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go, too. It was a fun week, and let me say, it was fun to cover the entire season first, just because it was a lot to reflect on driving home last night. I didn't listen to music at all. I just was I was just reflecting on what the season was. I'm grateful for it, you know. Yeah, I didn't lose the game, but I was reflective and appreciative of the season and the people I got to work with this year, the relationships I made. Lots to be proud of here in Nashville for sure. This was not expected whatsoever. So, yeah, it's a good start to a really good franchise once again with a new coach, a new GM, plenty of new faces here in town too. I talked to Luke Shin about being new to Nashville after being one season in, and he was, you know, a great piece for this team, and it was really fun to cover them this year.
Yeah, really fun season. Exceeded expectations, certainly, and we're going to hit a lot on the Preds throughout today's show. Connor, any thoughts on yogurt or a headline for this morning?
No thoughts on yogurt. No yogurt this morning. I had an apple, actually, as I walked out the door. Kind of just to hit on what you guys said, I'm really sad the Preds are done. But, I mean, Frazier, you can bounce off this, too. It was an honor to produce these games this season. You obviously did a lot more playoffs than I did, but it was...
Yes, he did.
That whole road trip, I was here in that building, me and the tribal chief, who we'll hear later on in Newt's notes.
Oh,
we'll talk about that later.
Suit.
But yeah, I'll start us off with headlines.
Okay.
I want to talk about Patrick Beverley. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he
plays... Oh, who didn't see it?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you didn't see it, I think he plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks got eliminated by the Pacers, and there's a video that's surfacing around right now of Patrick Beverley chucking a ball at a woman's head, calling for the ball back, then throwing it back at another fan. The reason they said for this is the fan apparently was heckling, and he said, "Cancun on me, Cancun on three," or something like that, which is hilarious, by the way. And what bothers me the most is not only – did you hit a woman? He came out on Twitter yesterday, and I quote tweeted this too, and said, "It's not fair. They were heckling us the whole game, and we asked them to stop." What kind of professional athlete are you if you, A, throw a ball at a woman? That's a problem. And B, can't handle fan interactions? That's part of the game. There are college kids that handle that better than you. So, I mean, that's my problem. If something doesn't happen to this guy, which I guarantee you they don't hand him more than like a 3-game suspension or something, maybe a fine. But he's been doing this his whole career, in my opinion.
I also saw, I think it was after the same game, there was a female reporter, I think from ESPN, in the locker room who tried to interview him. And he goes, "Are you subscribed to my podcast?" And she said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Then you can't interview me."
He has a podcast?
Apparently.
I believe it's on Barstool, right? Something like
that? Yeah. Something like that. He is part of Barstool, I think.
That's the clip that I saw on Twitter. I didn't know about what Connor
was
saying.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that either.
I had no clue about that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to watch it. I described it the best I could, but like you'll watch him motion his hands up like, hey, pass me the ball back. Like he feels apologetic, and then he gets it and immediately throws it full dodgeball style at some guy. And then
just can't have that.
Yeah, it was like malice too. It felt like it was getting to that point.
He's one of those players that you wonder how he's still in the league at this point.
He's not like good.
It feels like it was almost 10 years ago when was it Russell Westbrook who said Pat Bev's fooling y'all out there. He's just running around.
Well, Pat Bev, I think it was 5 years ago. Actually, I know it was 5 years ago. After I think it was Steph and that Warriors squad won it. It was 6 years ago because they won in 18. But Pat Bev said, to Curry, the next 5 years are mine. And since then, he hasn't done anything.
Isn't he known for, like, his defensive stats?
Well, that's what
more,
I'm saying. Yeah.
More of, yeah.
He's known as a defender, and I think it was Russell Westbrook who said,
I'm pretty sure he's fooling you.
He's running around out there.
Yeah.
Keezer, any headlines this morning?
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. And this has to do with last night's loss. I was standing in the locker room, and I was right by the stick rack and looking into the entire scene of it all. I saw one player not moving, motionless in his stall. And I peeked around the corner, and it was Anthony Beauvillier. And I was looking, and it was Luke Evangelista as well, a few other guys too. And Anthony was sitting in his stall, still dressed, and was very frustrated with the loss. Obviously, that was his man that scored the goal. So tough on him. And the reason I'm sharing that is that we've all had those moments where you sit there and you reflect. Like, you're just stunned. You're just like, what happened? Like, you're just befuddled with just all this emotion, and you don't know what's next. You feel like your world is over, and for him it is a little bit. But I think to reflect on his season, I mean, for Anthony's sake, keep this in mind, he's played on 4 teams in 2 years now, which is wild, and he played on 3 teams this season. So I feel bad for him that he has moved around a lot. But I'm glad that he got to end it in the postseason as opposed to sitting on his butt at home early on in April. So there is that as well. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to make this question of the day, but today is Star Wars Day. But the worst loss for anyone in your life, you know what that feels like, to sit there and just weigh in and be like, I can't believe that just happened. So that's what stood out to me last night after that catastrophic loss. But more importantly, how does this group use that as motivation? I know that we're going to talk more about that series loss here soon, but that's my headline, is just the frustration and the emotion that goes into, wow, I cannot believe that just happened.
Yeah, tough one. I mean, all 4 games the Preds lost in that series felt like could have gone either way. Just sometimes the puck doesn't bounce your way, and we'll talk a lot more about the Preds series coming up later on this hour. My headline has to do with baseball, and we're going to talk some baseball later on as well. It was a tough night for Nashville sports in general yesterday. The Preds loss, obviously. The Nashville Sounds were no hit for the first time since 2003. And Vanderbilt baseball lost in their series opener at Georgia. My headline has to do with that Georgia team. For those on the stream, you can see I'm wearing my pink St. Cloud Rock shirt.
What league is that?
This is the Northwoods League.
Oh.
It's a summer collegiate baseball
league
up in like the upper Midwest.
Yeah.
I spent two summers up in Minnesota. My second summer there, we had a player by the name of Charlie Condon on our team. He was a redshirt freshman at Georgia who did not play his entire – he redshirted his first year. He came up and raked with the Rocks. He played every single game. He was awesome. And now he is the number one draft prospect in this year's MLB draft. He hit his 31st home run last night
Wild.
In a win for Georgia. So I just wanted to say really cool. hate that it happened at the expense of Vanderbilt last night as they lost that opener. Still a chance to get back in the series today and tomorrow. But really cool. Charlie Connan, he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So I'm excited to see him, hear his name called early on, coming up in, I guess, July is when the MLB draft is.
Yep. So. Frazier, what do you got for us this morning?
I mean, I kind of gave mine. It was the Sydney, South Sydney, and the Brisbane Broncos, unfortunately. But, yeah, other headline would probably be Sonny Gray, a local product. Had six strikeouts last night as they beat the Chicago White Sox, I believe 3-0. Connor, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, Nolan Arenado's getting his bat rolling. I mean, I'm my big Cardinals fan, as you see my shirt here. It's kind of, you know, faded. But
I was going to say, I can hardly tell.
Just shows how much of a fan I am, wear it out all the time. But, yeah, Sonny Gray, local product. He started the season off with, you know, a pitch count, and I mean, he's just been lights out. I mean, six strikeouts. I mean, it's just and I think it was like a 65 pitch little pitch count for him in the first 2-3 games. I don't know if he has one currently. If he doesn't, good for him, but might as well just keep a pitch count on him.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He's unbelievable.
That ERA is sub 100 or sub 1.
Yeah, sub 1. Crazy.
I think he's at 9-8, something like that.
He's at 8-9. Yeah,
8-9. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's got, I just looked him up, he's 4-1 this season. He's pitched in 30 innings and 38 strikeouts.
It's incredible.
He's doing really well. So
I think he's behind the Cubs pitcher. I forget his name.
Shota?
Yeah, Shota. Thank you. Yes. He has a .78 ERA last time I checked, which that's a whole nother level. I mean, that's incredible.
He's been ridiculous for the Cubs so far this year. Front runner for Rookie of the Year in the NL and probably the Cy Young, too. But yeah, really cool there. We mentioned our question of the day. It is May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. So if you want to join the conversation, you can text or call 615-737-1025. Our question of the day, what is your favorite Star Wars movie or show or whatever? I know they have this whole universe now on Disney Plus.
Yep.
So join in, guys. Any favorites when it comes to Star Wars?
Well, when you send your text, send us a gift, too. If you've got something that stands out from one of the movies, then just send us a gift. But my, I think, favorite Star Wars movie would have to be The Empire Strikes Back. Because that's when Boba Fett shows up. That's when Han Solo gets frozen. And quite frankly, it's the most catastrophic loss for the Rebels at first. And then they come back with a vengeance. Return of the Jedi, such a fun movie as well. It's a close tie for me almost, but I would say The Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
It's a good one. I'm going to go with Rogue One. I think that's one that's a little underrated. I think it's a great movie, even though it's not part of the trilogies. I think that's an awesome one. I rewatch that one all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'd say Revenge of the Sith is up there with
that's
for
a
me
great
too.
Movie. That's where I was going
to
go.
People like to go after the prequels. I think the prequels, yes, some of the acting and the dialogue isn't great, but I think Revenge of the Sith is up there for one of the best ones.
I can't wait to see the new movies whenever they start doing them again because they've done really good on Disney Plus. I just got done watching Bad Batch. Actually, that's a really good series.
I've heard that's good. In general is awesome.
Do what now?
The Clone Wars?
Yeah.
Is so good.
It's really good.
I'll give you a hot take, though.
Okay.
I loved the Obi-Wan show.
It
was really good.
Kenobi, a lot of people hated it.
No, it was awesome.
I think it might be the best show they've done on Disney Plus.
I think Ahsoka's up there, too.
I haven't watched that one yet, actually.
I think you might like Ahsoka better because of the nostalgia, especially for your era, I think. But I think for Kenobi, it sets up so much that we did not understand as fans growing up.
I just love Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's cool. Yeah.
Bringing Hayden Christensen back to play him was really cool too.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. It's awesome. So plenty of stuff to talk about on Star Wars Day. If you have a favorite character or a favorite movie or a moment, even a line, because there are some really funny lines
Hello
too.
There.
Yeah, there you go.
So. Yeah, be sure to text or call us if you have some thoughts on Star Wars, if you have thoughts on the Preds, anything, 615-737-1025. We are off the ground here on this Saturday morning. It's time to talk some Preds when we come back. We're going to spend most of this hour on the Predators, recapping Game 6, recapping the season for Nashville, and where they go next after falling to the Canucks in 6 games in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is Force Company on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, the game. back here on Four's Company on this Saturday morning, getting in the May the 4th spirit with the Imperial March right now. Thanks to Connor Newt for getting us in the Star Wars mood here. Again, our question of the day, if you want to jump in, 615-737-1025. What is your favorite Star Wars movie, show, character? Send us a GIF. Send us whatever you have about Star Wars on our text line. And again, that's 615-737-1025. We do have one text coming in from 7641. They've got Luke Skywalker finding out that Darth Vader is his father. No.
That's my mom, by the way. I just know that number.
7641.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Thank you for listening, Mrs. Newt.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I will update her contact so we know who it is.
That way we always know when Connor's mom jumps in. Let's talk Preds. We hit on it a little bit in our headline segment to start off the show. But got Force Company, first of all, Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Let's talk about Game 6. Another one where it felt like it could have gone either way the entire time, scoreless until the final couple of minutes when the Canucks score, I believe, a minute 38 to go was when they finally found the back of the net. One of those games, just like the other three the Preds lost, where it felt like they had it and just couldn't quite get over the top. Puck didn't bounce their way. But that's how it goes in the Stanley Cup playoffs sometimes, and it ended up costing the Preds their season last night.
It did. And let me tell you, they were back and forth all night long. And credit to a couple of different sources for some stats last night. I want to share a few of them. And I think it was interesting that we did see three goalies, and that was the second time in NHL history that a team has won a series utilizing three goaltenders. That was something I knew a few days ago because I had looked that one up myself with help from NHL stats. But also, Adam Vingan, friend of our show here on 102.5 The Game, well, friend of our station, he said that Vancouver all-time scoring first in a potential series-clinching game. They're now 10-3. He said 9-3 last night. So now they're 10-3 when they score first in elimination games. So obviously, it comes down to the wire. And guys, it's on the TV behind Jake right now, but UC Saros was insane last night. Very deserving of the first star. There was that big save last night on Suter, and obviously he scored the game winner. That guy had chances all night. It was unfathomable energy, but that guy was everywhere last night. Right place, right time, blocked shots as well. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better game from the Predators whatsoever. And that's a game you're going to want back in some situations for sure. I just thought they looked gassed in the third period. They just didn't look like the team that they did in the first and the second. And that's going to happen when you put it all out there and nothing falls your way. But the energy was there, and they brought everything that they possibly could. But from a differing perspective, I want to hear what you guys kind of got away from this game as well, because I was there. But what did you guys notice? What felt different about this game, especially in a loss that ends your season?
I will say, I think Yusuf Parsons brought a little extra energy to the lineup.
Absolutely.
A lot of people were just kind of just in awe of, like, wow, the youngster coming out, really first playoff appearance, I think did pretty good for a debut.
Yeah, his 90th NHL game, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a performance like that. As for UC Saros, you know, everybody's like, oh, do the Preds re-sign Saros in the offseason, all that stuff, on a new contract, this, that, and the other. I think if you watched that game last night, that solidifies your thoughts on that. For me, it does. I would say UC Saros would be that goaltender going forward. For people that are just curious of like, I don't know if that's the right move. Yeah, it's the right move.
I was actually going to ask that with, you know, UC Saros, his status kind of up in the air. You have his heir apparent waiting down in Milwaukee. There's been questions heading into the trade deadline right before that big, the 18-game point streak of maybe Barry Trotz wants to move UC Saros. It felt like he made a pretty big statement last night that he's the guy moving forward.
I think so, but I'm not solidified yet, fellas. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process, I think, for the next few months, especially from my perspective. I think we've got to, as funny as it is, look, I'm not kidding. You're going to have to watch Askarov in the next few weeks. I mean, that is the honest truth I can give anybody out there listening that cares about the Predators. I don't care how much flack I get for it. I don't care, Max Herz. All right.
Here comes Nick Kieser with his Milwaukee Admirals fandom again.
Yes.
Yes. It's called the Calder Cup, right?
It's called the Calder Cup, yes. But on a serious note, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be, what do we take away from watching Askarov in the playoffs? Last year, I was texting with Devin Cooley, who's now a member of the Sharks, and asking him who would be playing those games last summer. And he would tell me what was going on, but also more importantly, when I was watching the games that Askarov played in, I mean, guys, he didn't finish any of the series as best as we thought he would last year. But as that ties in back to Nashville, I don't think you just give Saros $8 million just because. You're going to have to think about the next few seasons, and you're going to have to think about what's the term going to be. That's the biggest thing. It's not going to be the money. It's going to be, how long does he get this contract for? Because Saros is not your typical, hey, I arrived, I'm about 25, 26 years old. He's older than that. He's right at the cusp of 30. So it's going to be really tough to see, okay, how do they think about this 5 years from now? I don't think 5 years from now Saros is part of the plans, fellas. I really don't. He could be here for another maybe 3-4 seasons max. I just don't see the merit to him sticking around longer than fans maybe think initially. There's just not enough room for me to believe that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what else they do around UC. But what they do with UC is going to dictate this entire offseason, because they're eligible to give him a new deal July 1st.
If I can ask real fast, normally with NHL contracts, they're normally longer tenure, like 8 years, 9 years, and so forth. Uh-huh. With a goaltender like UC Saros, you were kind of mentioning 3 to 5 year range. Mm-hmm. There's no way the Preds would offer some sort of 3 to 5 year contract. That just doesn't seem logical.
I think that'd be advantageous of them too. Now, if it was David Poile, no. David Poile doesn't do 8 year deals or 7 year deals. He was very, I don't want to say he was burned, but he's had some spots where he's gotten burned signing some guys to some, you know, not longer bridge deals, but 4 or 5 year deals, where it's Kyle Turris is a really good example of that, where it's, you think you get a top six guy for the next 4 or 5 seasons, and that guy just bottomed out immediately. And that can happen. That's just sports, guys. But it's going to be crazy. Chase on our personal text line says they'd offer it, but would he take it? And that's the biggest question. And if he doesn't take it, okay, see ya. I mean, that's the hard truth, guys. I mean, you have two guys that are more than capable of running an entire season. You got Askarov and Kevin Lankinen. If you want to keep Lankinen, that's another thing, because Kevin can leave this offseason. So Saros is tied to Nashville for one more season. So don't let that be overshadowed by, hey, what's going to happen with UC? He's not a free agent, but it's going to be indicative of what the future looks like if they don't give him a contract this offseason. I don't say it has to happen on July 1st. It does not have to whatsoever. However, it's going to dictate the rest of this team and what they do. Because last night and this entire postseason showed me, fellas, this team is built to win. But also, Saros, Forsberg, and Josi cannot carry this team. They can at times, but they cannot carry you through a series. And that's the honest truth. That's where you have to put your stick in the ground.
Let me ask you this, Kieser. If they do hold on to Saros, assuming, do you think they give Askarov the Saros treatment like he did under Pekka?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think that they probably do, and I hope it's not as long as what UC Saros had to endure. I mean, Pekkarinen, the guy is a statue outside. And, I mean, he's very deserving of what he did. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's likely new. I really do. But is it going to be for 4 or 5 years? I would really hope not. I think it would be for 2 or 3 at the most. Because Askarov wants to play. He says it himself. He's an entertainer, guys. He loves being an entertainer. So a young goalie that was compared to Carey Price when he got drafted. If you guys recall who that is from the Montreal Canadiens, who's now pretty much retired. Look, he's got a huge ceiling. He could be better than Pekka. He could be worse than Pekka, but I think the ceiling's a lot higher for this prospect than what people have ever seen here in Nashville.
I just love the game he came up earlier this year, watching him in goal.
I guess it was against the Capitals, too.
Yes, yeah. Him standing there, was it you and me in here, Frazier? I think it might have been. I said he looks like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I just kept thinking of him standing in goal, like, kind of fidgeting and all that. He seems like a character bench-pressing the goal down in Milwaukee.
I saw it firsthand, yeah.
So, Preds have some decisions to make, definitely when it comes to goaltending. Three very viable options in Saros, Lankinen, and Askarov down in Milwaukee. So, will be interesting to follow how that all sorts itself out over the summer. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Preds season as a whole. We've talked about Game 6. Preds, again, their season ending last night in 6 games to the Vancouver Canucks. Talk about the Preds exceeding expectations and what comes next for the Nashville Predators as they enter the offseason. That's up next. You're listening to Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Connor hitting all the current events back there with our bump music. We got Star Wars in the first segment, and here we got Morgan Wallen, who's in town playing his last concert.
We'll be there tonight.
Of the weekend tonight. I will as well. So we'll have half of Four's company in attendance at Nissan Stadium tonight.
Two's company.
Two's company. We'll have to meet up, Connor. Do a
at
jersey.
At least it's not a, what's it, a third wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am. No, I'm the fourth wheel. Because Jake is there, and Jake's parents are there. And I'm there.
And my girlfriend, too, so you'd be the fifth wheel. Fifth wheel.
Okay. Well, not enough room in the caravan.
We'll do a jersey swap over at Nissan tonight at some point. Force Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20 p.m. First pitch at 6:35 with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Continuing our conversation about the Predators, who again fell 1-0 in Game 6 of their series with the Vancouver Canucks last night, ending their season. Kevin from Smyrna is on our text line, and again, you can join the conversation as well, 615-737-1025. Kevin says, the Preds have to concentrate on one main thing, goal scoring in the offseason. Got to get somebody in here that can score goals. That was apparent last night as the Preds were shut out. Kieser had an interesting stat in the break there. That's now 6 straight home losses in the playoffs for the Preds after last night's loss. Again, it's a series where every game felt like it could have gone the other way. Game 1, the Preds give up 2 goals in 12 seconds. Game 3, the Preds outshoot the Canucks by 20 and lose. Game 4, we all know what happened there. And then obviously last night. Tough way to end the season, but talking about the season as a whole, the Preds really did exceed expectations. The season has to be viewed as a success no matter what happened in that series.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's exactly what they're going to do this offseason, Kevin. I mean, they're going to add a goal scorer. And it's way too early to start this conversation, but it's going to be a fun tease for what's to come. Where does Steven Stamkos sign? Because the Nashville Predators have acquired 2 of Tampa's serial winners in Luke Shen and Ryan McDonagh on defense. So could that possibly be an option where you go to Steven this offseason, if he doesn't sign a contract before then, and go, hey, we have something special here in Nashville. You know, we got Ryan down the middle. You would probably be the second line or first line center at times. That would be a huge add. And Stamkos is a former 50-goal scorer. He has scored 100 multiple times. Now, I don't want to say he's struggled with injury, but he's injury susceptible. He's kind of like a Forsberg-esque with injuries, but Steven was the number 1 overall pick. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to not cheat. I think it was like 2011, maybe 12 or something like that. Maybe a little bit earlier than that, but he's about Ryan O'Reilly's age. So, I mean, if you thought about adding a guy like that for 3 years, maybe 4 years, if that's what he wants, to settle down somewhere, that would make sense. But goal scoring is going to be a need this year. I've not looked at the free agent list or what's thought to be the free agent list. So, but goal scoring is going to be added for sure.
I'm glad you brought up Stamkos because I was reading this article, I think, what was it, Thursday or Friday? I was like, hey, Nick, what do you think about Stamkos, man? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a solid like free agent option where obviously the Preds are going for this youth movement, but at the same time, if you bring in a guy like Stamkos, I look at him as like a Luke Shen or a McDonough where they are a core alpha pillar to a roster to where they can help, you know, boost and guide those youth players into – winning opportunities, kind of like this year with O'Reilly and so forth. But, you know, it just becomes to that next question of, well, the Preds are trying to get younger, but if they keep adding on these, I guess, more veteran-esque players, like, where's which direction are you going? That's kind of where the next question goes to that. But, yeah, I would like to see a Stamkos, just a negotiation, just something to kind of stir the pot, make the water warm a little bit, you know?
Right. Stamkos, 34 years old. He was the first overall pick in 2008.
Yeah.
So a little earlier.
A little bit earlier, yeah.
But hockey, it amazes me because baseball, it makes sense. These guys can play into their late 30s and 40s and still be productive. Mm. Hockey amazes me that these guys can play an 82-game season in a sport that physical. Mm-hmm. And you've still got Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby and Steven Stamkos who are still playing really good hockey despite being older guys in the sports world, at least. Ovechkin, I guess he's trying to break Gretzky's record coming back next year, it looks like. I grew up a Capitals fan, so.
Of course you did, yeah.
I love
Jake, can you explain the fandom?
He's
man.
Virginia. That's
I know,
how.
But that's like, my only hometown team.
Yeah, they're the closest team to him that he really enjoyed.
Now, I'm from Northern Virginia, okay. So that was my only hometown team.
I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, I'm Titans, Tigers, Suns, Capitals, growing up at least. I've transitioned more to the Preds since I moved here.
We've converted you. God,
yes, I've been converted.
From Teen Titans.
I've seen the
to
light.
Virginia.
So, my dad, he's all over the place, too. He's literally like four compass directions. He is Pirates, Blackhawks, Mavericks, and 49ers.
What?
Literally like as far away as you could possibly be. So,
wow. Did he watch that game last night with Kyrie?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. The Mavericks, that's a dangerous team. We might talk a little bit about that later on in our weekend picks, but mm-hmm. Staying on the Preds, you mm-hmm. mentioned it, Nick, that there's kind of a question of where does this team go? Because Barry Trotz has said sometimes you have to lose to get the elite centerman that you need in order to go win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. The Preds won a lot of games this year and took themselves out of that top running in the NHL draft. So it's kind of a crossroads here. Do you stick with this core that you have and try and make a push for it and add maybe a guy like Steven Stamkos to try and make a run?
Yeah.
Or do you think that maybe you're kind of stuck in the middle and have to have a couple of losing seasons in order to get to where you want to go?
I don't know. That's going to be tough. And with Barry Trotz's aspirations, you clearly saw this year where, and honestly, at times, there were moments where he was surprised, like walking around the building and hearing conversation and asking him a few questions throughout the season, just in passing conversation, he was shocked that all of this happened. And he knew the group that he would possibly be getting, but I think at the end of the day, they were shocked. And I don't want to say shell-shocked because they knew this room was special. Luke Shen told me last night this room was special. This felt like home. And, you know, for him, he's been able to settle down his family because of that in a much better way. But look, I think really quickly, just to give you kind of a glimpse into the future, if you want to give guys more time, like a Fedor Svechkov, if you want to give Joakim Kimmel some more time, which I think a few of these guys could play NHL next season, Zach LaRue's a guy. What happens with Philip Tomasino? Does he get a new contract this offseason? And then on defense, you've also got a guy that's playing junior playoffs currently, Tanner Mullendike. Spencer Stassi's another guy. Where does he go? Which, by the way, Spencer pretty much is, you know, not 100%, but I think he's healthy enough to where he will go to
Milwaukee, and he'll go play in that playoffs probably soon. Once we have locker clean out, I think he'll leave and go back down there whenever he's ready. Mark Delgado's down there too. But basically what I'm trying to say is there are going to be guys challenging because they're not supposed to be down in the minors anymore. These are guys that challenge for NHL spots now. So do the Predators keep a Jason Zucker? Do they keep an Anthony Beauvillier because they traded for a lot of these guys that are UFAs? There are six UFAs on this team right now, not including RFAs, but basically saying there's going to be roster spots, and this team could look younger for real this time. Their average age was 28, 29 years old this year. So that's something just to think about as well. They had 27 guys rostered in the playoffs. You kind of have to be deep for the playoffs, as Nashville saw. But Juuso Parsonen, we just talked about him earlier. You know, he's probably a guy that's going to play NHL minutes next year. So, but unless you want to spend some more time with him doing something else. But look, guys, that's just the truth of the matter. But the Preds, they're in a win-win because they can either go young and see what happens, or they can let a few guys go and bring some others in and roll the dice all over. So we'll see.
We'll talk more Preds in the 10 o'clock hour as well. You can join the conversation as well. Call or text 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, it's time for Newt's Notes. He has a special guest. Connor Newt is taking over the show up next here on Forest Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Forest Company here on this Saturday morning, 1025, 1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier. We're going to sit back and take a break here for 15 minutes because it's time for Newt's Notes with a very special guest. Connor, take it away.
Yeah, you think you're taking a break. Yeah, well, I'm not LA Newt today. I've turned heel. I'm taking over this program. Let's start with this. WWE Backlash is today, and if you know me, you know I'm a huge wrestling fan. So I thought, why not bring in another wrestling fan? And I think he's a guy you guys know pretty well. Yeah. The Tribal Chief is with me. The head of the table. Your boss. My boss. All of our bosses. Chase McCabe is with us. Chase, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you, fellas. And if those three think they're taking a break...
Oh, no, they're not taking a break. No.
I need them listening intently because, you know, you're all very advantageous about this show. And now that I'm coming on, I expect acknowledgement, and I expect you all to be a part of it. So they're going to learn some wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge him. All right, Chase.
That's good. You had that on the ready.
Oh, I got my board pulled up, you know.
Attaboy.
All right. Well, Backlash is today, kicking off at about 12 Eastern, I believe. So let's make some predictions here.
Sooner than that, I feel like it's in a few minutes, but
yeah,
you're right.
It is in France, and I don't know what time they use or anything.
At 12 o'clock. You're right.
Yeah. 12. Yes. Yeah. I'm always right. Ish. All right. So let's get started. Let's start with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso comes in main event. Riding the hot hand, taking on the newly crowned champion, Damian Priest, who just recently cashed in at WrestleMania 40. I love Jey Uso. I want Jey Uso to win, but I don't see them taking the belt off of Damian Priest. I mean, he's riding this heel run. I feel like they're going to turn him face soon, though. Just my opinion.
No, I agree. And so I'm curious by this match. Like, I know we'll talk WWE Championship. Cody AJ is perfect for Cody's first title defense. So I am curious by this, but I'm also learning that, you know, in this new era, I'm not going to question Triple H. I'm going to kind of sit back and, as The Rock says, enjoy the ride that he's taking us on. And because I feel like neither one of these guys, well, Damian less than Jay. Like, Jay, I think, could have a title run, and he can, especially with the world title. The world title is, to me, not the big title. Like, it's a good one. It's one with a respect. But you don't need the company carrying guy to have that title. So it's the working man's title, as Seth Rollins put it. Even though I think Seth Rollins, you know, can carry the show. I think Jay is ready for it, but I'm with you. I don't think they're gonna do it yet. So I'm kind of curious of why they're going ahead and blowing this and putting him in a main event, you know, for a title when he's, you know, you got to give Damian some time. Now, maybe yeah. They've decided behind the scenes that, you know, we had to do the cash in at WrestleMania. Damian's been a good work, you know, worker, kind of rewarded him, but he's not really a title guy, and they're going to go ahead and take it off of him. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, I haven't been super impressed with him as champion yet.
No, me neither.
He looks very uncomfortable. They've written the Judgment Day, and I know that, you know, Mommy getting hurt, and now Dom's hurt. You know, they're kind of having to figure out what to do. But, you know, Finn to me should always be the leader of Judgment Day. Like, yes. Finn just seems more of that guy, and Damian does not. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with this. Like, if you know, I also have a feeling we're going to see Jimmy Uso at some point.
I agree.
Maybe yeah. not today, but I feel like you're going to start to see a storyline of Jimmy trying to reunite with Jay since he's been kicked out of the Bloodline. And I wonder, do you involve Rikishi at some point? There's so many different places they can take this Bloodline storyline. But to the match today, I'm with you. I think Damian retains. I don't know if it's clean, because obviously you got the Judgment Day stuff, or does the Judgment Day cost him? There's a lot of different places they can take this, but I'll go Damian wins.
I second that. Damian's winning. However, I am interested to see, does the Judgment Day cost Damian a little bit? They have been doing it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that could very well be it. And does Jimmy help Jay? You know, I mean,
right.
Again, this is what I love about this new era. There's about, for each of the main storylines, so of Cody, of, you know, Jey Uso, all those things, there's about five or six different places it can go.
Right.
And whereas in the old Vince McMahon days, like, you kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
So now you don't. So I think that's really good.
All right. Speaking of the Bloodline, we got a weird tag team match, but it makes sense if you've been watching. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton teaming up, forming a team called RKO, which is a pretty sick name in my opinion. And they take on this new Bloodline featuring Solo Sikoa, who thinks he's the head of the table, and Tama Tonga, who we haven't seen much of, but I was listening to Booker T this morning earlier, right before us on the Hall of Fame, and he's really,
Saturday mornings at 8 here at 102.5 The Game.
Yes, free ad right there. And he's really high on Tama Tonga. He thinks he's been a star coming in. So I'm curious to see where they take this. I honestly think the Bloodline is going to get it just to push this momentum.
Yeah.
Solo hasn't won in a really, like, I think he's gone 0-34 in his last 34 matches or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're going to push this Bloodline, new vicious Bloodline. You're going to see this Paul Heyman doesn't know who to acknowledge. You saw it on SmackDown yesterday. Randy Orton asked him who is the head of the table, and Paul was hesitant to answer. So I feel like they're going to push this Bloodline. Solo's the new guy up until Roman Reigns returns at some point.
Yeah, well, I here's the thing, though. I don't know if it's until Roman Reigns returns. I think that's where this one could go, that, you know, Solo's acting like he's the head of the table, but really he's listening to the tribal chief and making Heyman think, well, wait a minute, Roman didn't say that, and it's The Rock, and, you know, you can set up some Rock and Roman stuff. But you also have time with that. Like, you don't have to do that at the next WrestleMania. You can, but you don't have to. So the Bloodline continues to be one of the best storylines of professional wrestling in the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
They have done a tremendous job with it. You know, if Heyman were to sit at the podium right now and be asked what inning is it in, I would say it's probably the fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and now Roman's taking time off. Roman's out of the rotation, but, like, it's still going on. I'm with you. I think the Bloodline has to win. And your comments on Tama Tonga, I mean, this guy, like, I've kept up with him a little bit in his indie career and all of that. This was a pretty major signing. And keep in mind, there's a, was it, And there's another Fatu they just signed. Jacob.
Texter just texted in and said, be on the lookout for Jacob Fatu.
I could see him, you know, making his debut in France. So, you know, they're forming a new bloodline. I think having Heyman with them is an extremely important piece of this, because I think people don't realize that not only do you have the Paul Heyman on the screen, but you have Paul Heyman off the screen. And Roman Reigns' career took off because he was listening to the advice of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman was coaching him and helping him with promos and, you know, helping him write this storyline. That's what made Paul Heyman a Hall of Famer. So that's happening now with Solo and Tama Tonga in this new bloodline. So I think it's all fascinating, but I agree. They get the win.
All right, let's go real quick, rapid fire on these last three matches. The next one is Bayley defending her women's championship against Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. I like Bayley to retain. I don't think they, same as Damian, I don't think they'll take it off her too early. However, again, listening to Booker this morning, he said, do not be surprised when Tiffany Stratton shocks the world and wins the title.
Oh, he thinks it could be Tiffy time, huh?
Yeah, it could be Tiffy time.
I think Bayley wins, but I think they're going to build Tiffy time to be a main eventer, and she is. But she's good enough.
Oh yeah. The next one is the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, taking on Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill for the women's tag team championships. I'm gonna go a different route on this one. Normally I'd like Damage Control, Kabuki Warriors, whatever you want to call them, to retain. But I think Bianca and Jade Cargill get it done, because I think they're going to build this Bianca versus Jade WrestleMania angle for next year, which is the dream match everyone said they wanted.
Yeah, I agree. I think they win the belts and go on a dominant streak for a little bit in the women's division, and then eventually you set up the one-on-one.
Right, I agree. And then, of course, finally, your main event, your new WWE Universal Champion Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, takes on AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, in an absolute dream match. I cannot wait for that one.
This one, I'm very, very excited. I hate that this is Backlash, like that.
Right.
You know, because this is a WrestleMania caliber main event.
Yes.
With these two, this is SummerSlam. I mean, this is a big time main event. Cody's going to retain. I hope it's a clean finish. But, you know, I expect to see a really, really good match. AJ's one of those guys that you get in the ring with him, he's going to help carry you. Not that Cody needs that, but I think this is going to be a good back and forth. But I like the story to continue with Cody Rhodes.
The story is continuing. But last thing, do you think we see an Uncle Howdy appearance tonight?
That's a good question. Eric Rowan has re-signed with WWE.
Yes.
So I believe he's going to be part of a new Wyatt family. You know what? I'll say yeah.
I second that, because the promos and the barcodes and all that have been picking up recently, and they cut one last night.
Yeah.
It was like a teaser of the main event, Cody, AJ, and then it cuts out.
Yeah.
And you see all these messages, and it was like, oh, he's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming soon. But, yeah.
Just call him Bo Wyatt. I hope
Bo Wyatt.
Just be Bo Wyatt.
Bo Wyatt. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Backlash predictions. Thanks for your participation, other three guys.
I was going to say no to that last comment. I feel like that'd be rushing the line a little bit.
Yeah.
See, look, Frazier's a wrestling guy. So you say no to Bo Wyatt?
Yeah, I say no. I think it's just rushing the line, like storyline, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you know who he is. You know he's his brother.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this whole thing is to keep the legacy going. So, I mean, yes, he's Uncle Howdy, but I don't know. Maybe you give it some time and then you do it, but I think eventually.
Oh, 100%.
You just got to believe in it, okay?
Believe, Frazier. Believe.
Okay, believe.
I know that Dr. Crane's into wrestling. Did Keezer and Jake learn anything?
Did you?
I feel like I learned a lot. I didn't know what a lot of this even meant, but I was listening to Brad Gilmore and Booker T on the way in, too. I've gotten all of my wrestling knowledge in the last hour and a half or two.
I have my fill. Yeah, I have my fill, too. That was fun, guys. Yeah.
Next time they're here in Raw, we'll go. I'll take you.
I'm intrigued, by the way, with the Jacob Fatu prediction.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he Umaga's relative in some regard?
They're all related.
They're all related.
There's like 90 of them.
I think he's Sammy Fatu's son. Yeah. He's related with Sammy Fatu and then along with Umaga in a roundabout way. But yeah,
like your
curious.
Grandfather probably knew this family somehow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was a, I think, some sort of tournament in Australia. I've mentioned you before. Yeah. And they were along with this like round robin tag team tournament. So yeah, somewhere around there.
All right, well, that's all I got. Thank you, Chase. We'll acknowledge you next time.
Thanks for having me. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you.
Chase McCabe entering Newt's Corner in Newt's Notes here at the end of our first hour on Forrest Company. Connor, thank you for that. I do feel like I've learned a lot about wrestling in the last 15 minutes. I appreciate your
You're welcome. You've been enlightened. Your eyes have been opened to my world.
And you said this starts at noon, so maybe I'll sit down and watch a
noon
little bit
on Peacock, free to all subscribers. It might be free to the public, I don't know, but it's on.
If it's on Peacock, I believe it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Awesome.
It was so refreshing to hear that. I'm be stripped. It was very refreshing to hear some wrestling.
Again, listeners on 102.5, 106.3, the game this morning have gotten all the wrestling talk they could hope
for.
Hall of Fame made their debut on our station 8 to 9 with Booker T and Brad Gilmore. And Connor Newt enlightening us on some wrestling here in Newt's Notes. That wraps up our first hour. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Titans. We're not going to spend too much time on the Titans today, but talk a little bit about what moves could be coming for the Titans and where they stand after the draft. That's up next in the second hour here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.